Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
Farthest thing from my mind that he would ever even consider doing something like this. It's almost hard to believe that he did, but you know, all roads point to it.
We just kind of gave up hope. We don't know anything, you know, until the day we saw the news.
Jessie's just a very, very loving, bubbly kind of person. She would give her shirt off her back to anybody.
I'm getting a lot of people that are telling me that they believe that the two girls are in the same place.
If they would have listened to us, you know, 10 years ago, this would not be happening now.
Hello, and welcome to episode 62 of The Vanished. 20-year-old Taliba Islam was last seen in Fort Worth, Texas on January 16, 2006. Her boyfriend Christopher Reville reported her missing a few days later. He told the police that she had brought their son over for a visit and that she got into a car with someone and left. Her case quickly went cold and there was no news coverage of her disappearance until late last year, when 25-year-old Tiffany Johnson vanished on October 10, 2016. These two women had never met one another, but they have two things in common. They're both missing, and they both dated the same man. This isn't just the story of two missing women, but also the story of two families searching for answers. Not just to find their missing loved ones, but also to protect other women from becoming the next victim of Christopher Reville. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. So many times on this show, when we have a case where it's pretty obvious who the perpetrator is, you will hear the family say that they don't want that person to be able to hurt someone else and put another family through what they've been through. This is a case where that nightmare has actually become a reality, which has left the police scrambling for evidence to try to keep this predator off of the streets. So let's go back to 2006. 20-year-old Taliba had been in a relationship with Christopher Reville, and they had a son together. The two had broken up, but Taliba went to Chris's home on January 16th so that he could see his son, who was just 3 months old at the time. According to the police report, several days later, on January 21st, Chris contacted the police and told them that on the 16th, Taliba had come over to his home, left her son inside, exited the home, and got into a vehicle with an unknown person and left around 8 p.m. Chris described the vehicle as a dark green four-door automobile. He said that it was unlike Taliba to leave her baby that long without at least calling to check up on him. The police bought this story and never considered Chris a suspect. There were no organized searches for Taliba or any news coverage.
her case just went cold. Taliba's family did search for her. They hung flyers and printed t-shirts that said, "Taliba, please come home." Chris had also contacted Taliba's family and told them the same story about her leaving the baby with him. Her sister Hadia told me about a conversation that she had with Chris when she called to see if he had heard anything from Taliba.
Yeah, maybe a week after she so-called left, I was still in touch with him trying to see if she came back or anything. And then he was like, "No, you know, I still haven't heard anything. And, you know, I don't know what to do with a baby, you know." And I was like, "Well, sure, just drop him off over here with me. I'll take care of him." And he's been with us ever since.
After Chris handed the baby over to Taliba's family, he just moved on and didn't make any attempt to be a part of his son's life. I wondered if Taliba's family had suspected Chris all along, or if they believed his story back in 2006. Hadia told me that they had had their suspicions all along based on things that Taliba's friends had told them.
Sometimes she was trying to get away from him. She also had a few best friends. One name was Tiffany. And she used to always say, like, when Chris was over there, she was kind of scared of him. This is what Tiffany was saying. Tiffany was kind of scared of Chris. She had another best friend named Christina. Taliba always told Christina, you know, "Man, if anything happened to me, know he did it. Because he crazy, just know he did it."
Recently, the Fort Worth Police Department told Taliba's family about something interesting in their records.
They also said that they talked to me saying that we saw her, and I've never talked to anyone saying that.
So that led me to wonder if Chris had someone go to the police and pretend to be Hadia so they would think that Taliba had come home. Hadia thought the same thing. You would think that they would have attempted to make contact with Taliba to confirm that she was fine. And maybe this is just a mistake in their records. We may never know. This is where Taliba's case goes cold, and stays cold for a decade. Her family kept searching while also raising her son. During that decade, Chris was in and out of jail. In 2008, he was convicted of aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon, robbery, and also assault of a public servant for biting a police officer. He was sentenced to 5 years and released in March of 2013. Just 4 months after his release, he was charged with burglary of a habitation with intent to commit assault. He pleaded guilty to that charge and was again sentenced to 5 years. He was paroled in July of 2015. It was several months after this that he met Tiffany Johnson. 25-year-old Tiffany was living in the Fort Worth area with her twin brother, Asher. I spoke to Tiffany's aunt Janelle and her cousin Alex, who told me a little bit more about her.
Tiffany's just a very, very loving, bubbly kind of person. She would give her shirt off her back to anybody. You know, she's just a very, very kind person. I spoil her rotten. She's like a daughter to me. And my son and her are, even though they're cousins, they're each other's halves. They just know each other so good.
Just a lovable, good person, always gave everything she had to everybody.
Tiffany and Chris had dated for about 8 months. Tiffany's family liked Chris, and they had no idea about his criminal history, and they had also never heard of Taliba. Tiffany's aunt Janelle told me about the time that she met Chris over the summer.
In the summer of last year, I went to Texas. My son and I went to Texas, and we met him. And he did a wonderful job of fooling us, because he acted like he was the nicest boyfriend around.
Her cousin Alex also really liked Chris.
I actually trusted him quite a bit, to be honest. I thought I like actually got along with him very well. Far the same from my mind that he would ever even consider doing something like this. It's almost hard to believe that he did, but, you know, all roads point to it.
Tiffany did eventually break up with Chris. Janelle told me how the relationship between Tiffany and Chris began to deteriorate.
He was so obsessed with Tiffany because she was pregnant with his child, but she had a miscarriage. And he blames all that on her, seeing that she tried to get rid of the baby, which, no. She kept on telling Chris, "It's over, you know, just go on with your life, and she was trying to go on with hers.
Tiffany broke off the relationship, and by October, she and Chris had been broken up for about 2 months. Tiffany moved on and started seeing someone else. On the evening of October 10th, she was at her apartment with her brother and had invited her new boyfriend over for dinner. Chris showed up, and Tiffany spoke with him outside. While they were outside, her new boyfriend approached them, and Tiffany instructed him to go inside. He and Tiffany's brother Asher could see them from inside the apartment. At this time, both Tiffany and Chris's cars were parked in the parking lot. They kept looking outside to check and make sure Tiffany was okay. After about 20 minutes, they noticed that the two had moved to the side of the apartment building, but they could still hear some of the conversation. Another 20 minutes went by, and Chris came into the apartment. Asher asked where Tiffany was, and Chris said that she had gotten into a vehicle and left with someone, which is the same story that he had told about Taliba. Chris grabbed some things from the apartment and left. Asher began calling Tiffany's phone, but got no answer. He looked outside and didn't see Chris's car and assumed that he had left. Asher then went downstairs to look for Tiffany. When he got outside, he noticed that Chris wasn't gone. He had just moved his car and backed it up into the yard area of the apartment complex and had the trunk open. Asher decided not to approach the car because he wasn't sure if Chris had any weapons. He went back into the building to go out a different exit to the back area of the complex. When he exited, Chris closed the trunk of his car, got inside, and left. When Asher made it over to where the car had just been parked, he found Tiffany's phone and one of her socks on the ground. Asher called Chris and told him to come back to the apartment building. Chris said that he would turn around and come back. Asher waited 15 minutes for Chris to come back and then proceeded to call the Fort Worth Police Department. When the police arrived, Asher once again called Chris. He answered the phone and spoke with a responding officer who instructed him to return to the apartment complex to speak with police. Chris returned about 25 minutes after that call. The officer noticed that Chris was sweating profusely and inquired about this. Chris said it was because it was hot out. The officer noted that it was 64.9 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 18 degrees Celsius for you international listeners. No one else at the scene was sweating due to the weather, but everybody thought it was suspicious. Chris denied that he had backed his car up into the yard of the apartment complex. The police noted that there were tire tracks in the yard that appeared to match the tires on Chris's car, and also footprints there that matched his shoes. While they were investigating the scene at the apartment, other officers went to Chris's house where he lived with his parents. In the backyard, they found a stretched-out bra like someone had pulled it apart. They also found a woman's shirt, a smartwatch with a broken clasp, and a man's tank top. Police spoke with Chris's parents, who informed them that they had not been home during the time frame when Tiffany went missing. They had been out to dinner and shopping that night, but stated that the items that were found in their backyard had not been there earlier in the day, nor did they belong to them. Chris was detained that night and charged with kidnapping. He was later charged with aggravated kidnapping, or kidnapping with the intent to kill, which is a level 1 felony and carries a lengthy prison sentence. Police and volunteers have been searching for Tiffany, but they have had no luck finding her.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
One unique thing about Tiffany's case that we don't usually see is how tight the timeline is. Since her brother Asher was immediately suspicious and contacted the police quickly, we know just about how much time Chris had. They've been able to pin that time frame down to about an hour to an hour and a half, give or take. Now, it has not been confirmed that the clothing found at Chris's house definitely belonged to Tiffany, but if he did make it all the way to his house, that's about 14 miles each way. I looked it up on Google Maps, and that said the trip would be about 27 minutes each way. If he did make it to his house, he wouldn't have had too much spare time to put Tiffany somewhere. There is also cell phone ping information that I don't personally have access to. Police and private investigators have been using that information to help guide their searches, but that has not led them to finding her. Tiffany's family lives in several states, including Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Iowa. This has been very hard on them being so far away. Alex, who lives in North Dakota, told me about how he learned Tiffany was missing.
I started seeing some things on Facebook, and I kind of thought it was, I didn't really believe it, you know. And then probably maybe 2 minutes after seeing a couple posts on Facebook, my mom had called me. I just saw in her voice that something was up. We left that night, that following night, left Fargo and drove all the way down there to Texas.
This is where Taliba's story and Tiffany's story come together. The police didn't contact Taliba's family. Hadia told me how she just so happened to see Chris on the news.
And I just so happened to glance at the TV and I see his picture up there. And so I stop and I'm looking like, was that really just him? And I look at my mama like, Mom, was that him? So I sat down, listened to the news, and it was him.
As I said earlier, Tiffany's family had no idea about Chris's past and that he was possibly connected to another missing woman's disappearance.
I had no clue about any of that. I was amazed. And then I found out about Taliba, and we met her family and talked to them. Their stories were everything was so identical on how she went missing and how my cousin went missing. It was just unbelievable.
Both families have come together with the combined goal of finding both women and also to make sure that Chris can't harm anyone else. The police had never considered him a suspect in Taliba's case, but now they admit that they are, in fact, taking a second look.
I think the police realized this guy has done it twice now. We got to do something to make sure that he doesn't do it again. This guy is not good to be out in public.
A group of private detectives have taken on the case pro bono, and I spoke to one of them. Her name also happens to be Tiffany, which I hope doesn't cause too much confusion. She was able to provide me with a lot of insight on the case.
Well, actually, we take the canines out a lot. I've been doing some research here and there. I do know that there is hope that she's still out here. From some of the information that we are gathering on our end, there's a possibility that she is being human trafficked. More things that keep coming to light as the days go by. I've talked to quite a few people here the last few days. They've been giving us some spots to look for her at. There's a lot of stuff that really can't be revealed in the case. I do know that there is enough evidence gathered at this point to try to get him life.
The private investigators have been using the timeline and cell phone ping information to try to narrow down the places that he could have taken Tiffany.
There is cell phone ping information. So basically, from the time that he left the apartment complex until the time he got back, he's accounted for all of, except for maybe roughly, I'll say 30 to 45 minutes that he's unaccounted for.
They have also been out questioning a lot of people who Chris knew over the years. Sometimes people are reluctant to speak with the police for various reasons, but the private investigators have been able to gather some additional information.
As I'm questioning people, I actually have touched base on her disappearance, and I'm getting a lot of people that are telling me that they believe that the two girls are in the same place. I did talk to one gentleman who actually told me that they were very close friends, him and Chris, until the Taliba came up missing. And his whole family was very close to Taliba, is what this guy said. And that, you know, they couldn't believe that he would do what he did. And now he says, you know, to see that it's happened again. He said the guy's in jail, and he actually said he had a friend in there with him, and he said he, the last week, has been slipping out in there. I believe it's due to him making a mistake with the Tiffany Johnson, and now Taliba's case has come back to light. That's why I've reached out to a lot of people that are close to him, just to kind of get the gist of the way he thinks and maybe places he's hung out or he hangs out at, because a lot of these people grew up with him. And every single person I've talked to said that he's not going to talk, and they are all aware of Taliba's disappearance. And every single one of them has said that wherever the one is, you're going to find the other.
There's some skepticism among Tiffany's family about the clothing that was found in Chris's backyard. They aren't completely sold on the fact that those items belong to her.
There's a couple news articles that say that the clothing was found out there. Talking to Tiffany's brother, I believe he thought that the articles belonged to Tiffany, but there's some discrepancy because family is saying that's not what she was wearing when she went missing. So it's believed that the clothes in the backyard did not belong to her.
The families have pushed to get some outside involvement from the FBI and other organizations, but the Fort Worth police have been resistant to that idea.
Before we actually stepped onto the case, I believe the family asked for FBI to be involved. They also asked for Texas EquiSearch private investigators, and they were told no, that they did not want them, the police did not want them to have any of these people involved. And now that it's been 3 months, We actually stepped in a month after the case started, and we have not heard anything about FBI being involved at all. We cannot even get Crime Stoppers to actually match the reward that is out here for her right now.
One thing that I kept wondering about was how no one in that apartment complex saw or heard anything that night.
When we actually went out to the crime scene, from where his car was parked, yes, there is a little piece of a brick wall, but there is a whole apartment complex directly behind there. And clearly from all of the windows upstairs, you could see where his car was parked from the apartment complex behind their apartment. And that was the first thing I asked was, why is it that no one in this whole apartment complex building seen anything? And I said, somebody seen something. And the response I get is because it was dark outside and you couldn't see over there. So again, with him having a white car, I would still think that you would see the car there the way that it was in the grass.
I've heard from several people that the apartment complex is very busy. Even at night, there's people out and about. So we aren't sure if no one saw a thing or if people are just hesitant to involve themselves with law enforcement. We know that power and control are often the driving forces behind domestic violence. Tiffany had broken up with Chris and was moving on. Was the loss of power and control over her too much for Chris to handle? The night that Tiffany disappeared, we know that most likely Chris did something to Tiffany outside to incapacitate her before going upstairs and grabbing some things and then leaving. The man that Tiffany had been seeing told the private investigators a chilling story about how Chris acted when he came upstairs.
He's very possessive, obviously, and controlling. He had to have the upper hand of everything and the control. And I guess that's where he loses his mind, is when he loses that sense of control. And, you know, he was at the point to where he would actually get a hold of the aunt via text message and let her know how much he loved Tiffany. And to me, he told the aunt he would never harm her or hurt her. So to me, I think that he was more on the lines of either you're going to be with me or you're not going to be with anybody. Because the guy that was at the apartment, I spoke with him, and he told me that when he had first got there, he said he walked up because he did not know who Chris was and that he was going to shake Chris's hand, and Tiffany told him, no, just go upstairs. And when Chris did come back upstairs, the gentleman says that Chris walked right up to him and shook his hand and looked him right in his face. And he said they kind of had a little stare off, and Chris shook his hand, reached over and grabbed something off the floor and walked out. And my thoughts were more on the lines of, okay, so this was after he did whatever he did. He came upstairs and actually shook your hand and stared at you in your face. So basically he now knows who you were. I'm sure Tiffany told him. And it was more on the lines of that she's not here anymore. You ain't going to see her no more. Which is kind of, yeah, again, that is very creepy. Like, no conscience at all.
Even more chilling is the idea that the attack on Tiffany may have been premeditated.
And I sometimes wonder if, you know, maybe this was kind of premeditated. And the reason I say that is because there was one person that he did work with. And the gentleman stated that Chris came to work that morning. Now, mind you, Tiffany hadn't come up missing until that evening. That he went to work and the guy said, you know, he seemed like he was down. He said, I personally just didn't know the guy other than speaking, hey, how you doing? Or what, you know, what's up? He said, but other than that, we just didn't, I didn't know him personally, like a hangout type level. He said, but I looked at the guy and he looked like he was all depressed and upset. He said, and I looked at him and I said, hey man, what's wrong with you? You act like you just lost your girlfriend. He said, and the dude just looked up at me and just started laughing and smirked at me and walked off. And then that evening, she comes up missing. So I just speculate, you know, it's just me speculating, but I wonder if he didn't have this in his mind that day, that morning, or even prior to, because again, they were already split up. So I don't wonder if he didn't sometimes follow her around and knew about this guy ahead of time and was aggravated about it, and this was his goal.
When someone goes missing, the people left behind often rack their brains about the things that were said and done leading up to their disappearance. Tiffany's brother Asher remembered an odd comment that Chris had made while they were at a local lake just a week or two before Tiffany disappeared.
I do know, you know, the family was real concerned at one point. The brother, of course, one day I guess they were out drinking by the lake, and this was like a week or two prior to her coming up missing. He looked over at everybody while they were sitting there just hanging out, having, you know, a normal time and by the lake. And he says, you know, this is where I come and dump bodies. Well, I thought about it for a minute and I said, you know, I'm wondering if that was some kind of diversion ahead of time, because who in their right mind would sit and tell you if they truly did murder people or kill people, this is where I stash my bodies. So, I mean, just things that were coming out just seem really odd to me and very disgusting and sickening.
While there's hope that Tiffany is still out there alive, that hope starts to fade with each day that goes by.
And I know I try to keep hope for the family. I try to keep it there that there is a possibility that she's being trafficked. But at any rate, we have to also factor in that it's been 3 months. And even if hypothetically he was to go and stash her somewhere, maybe have her tied up somewhere, and thought maybe for a moment that he was going to go back, because according to the other gentleman, when he came back, he acted like he came back to help search for her. Even if he tied her up and put her somewhere with the intentions of going back to where she was, she's been there for 3 months. That plays in my mind a lot with some of these situations, this being one of them, just because the fact that he decided he was going to come back and play the whole innocent, I'm going to help search for her role, makes me wonder if he just put her somewhere with the intentions of coming back, but in turn got arrested and he's just not willing to say where she was.
One interesting thing is that Chris told his sister that he was not concerned about where his phone pinged that night, but he was more concerned about the leaves that were stuck to his car.
And that is one of the reasons that we take the canines out through the wooded areas, creeks, things like that, anywhere that there would be feasible for him to maybe pull off at that time of night, dispose that quickly, and get back to the scene in that amount of time. The other concern is because of the way that they all say that he was dripping sweat, and we clarified several times that it was not water. It was 64 degrees outside and it was 11:30 at night. There's no reason why you should be dripping sweat.
Tiffany explained to me some of the challenges they face while searching in that area of the country. Things that many of us who aren't familiar with that area may never even think about.
Fort Worth is a very wooded area. There's a lot of wild animal. There's a lot of hogs. There's a lot of field rats. There's just a lot of vultures out there. So we have to weigh all that into when we search. See, and they eat anything. And so it's sad to say, but if he put her in the woods anywhere, even if it be under leaves or dirt or whatever, the smell would have attracted the animals. So we have to factor all that in when we go out. And so it's not just, you know, people think you go out here and search and you just, there's a body. That's not always the case. You know, sometimes it's not a body, it's some bones here or there. It gets very intense when you go out here and search. And that's a lot of times why we use the dogs, because that's what they're trained to sniff out. So our particular dogs, we don't have where they have to actually have TIF scent before they go out and smell for her. We actually are using the canines who are sniffing out for decomp and bone, things like that.
Even though they are heavily focused on Tiffany's case right now, the private investigators have been getting more information about Taliba's case, too. I asked Tiffany about her thoughts on why Taliba's case went nowhere.
From my understanding, the reason that Taliba's case went the wrong direction is because when she came up missing, he was actually the one who did the missing persons report on her. So at that point, anytime anyone called in from the family for information, they were not given information. They would only give it to him, to Chris. And if he's the one who made her come up missing, and giving him, being the only one to get information, the whole case just went out the window. Because he actually was the one who did what he did with her, and then he reported her missing, and it was pretty much done. And that's why I said I think that he's more so in there angry right now, because something that he feels like he got away with 10, 11 years ago has now came back and slapped him in his face. And I think that may be one of the reasons that he doesn't want to talk or does not want to give up location, because then that would definitely pin him with the other one if they are realistically in the same spot.
When the private investigators were speaking to one of Chris's friends, he told them a story about Chris and Taliba that just added to the evidence pointing to Chris's violent tendencies.
When I was talking to one of his friends, the one friend that I've been speaking of, and this friend of his told me that one of his relatives used to date Taliba, and that Chris pulled a gun on his brother over Taliba. So I can see where he has a problem. He needs help, is the bottom line. Anyone who can kill somebody or do something evil to someone that you love, you need help. And the only way I see him getting it is where he's at. He will not even speak to his mother. The time his mother went and seen him, he actually got angry because she didn't, you know, she told him just to tell her what happened. You know, she said, talk to me. And he shook his head and hung up the phone and walked nicely out of that little room. And he was done.
Taliba's sister told me that her family would be happy even if Chris only gets convicted for what he did to Tiffany. But she does have one wish.
I just want my sister back. Like, even if she is, you know, not here anymore, just let us know where he put her, you know, so we can throw her our own funeral, you know, because we don't have that. We don't have her body, so we don't have anything. You know, my sister's still out there in the field somewhere or in a sewer somewhere. Like, we don't know.
When I was researching this episode, one thing that was so scary to me was how many people said that they thought Chris was a great guy. It made me realize that sometimes you just never know what someone's capable of. There's also the question of whether or not Chris could have hurt someone else. He was incarcerated for several years between Taliba and Tiffany's disappearances, but not the entire time. So the question remains, where did he put Taliba and where did he put Tiffany? He used the same story twice. Could he have put the two women in the same place too? If you have any information, the families are asking that you please come forward. If you think you may know something or you think you may have seen something but you aren't sure, please just report it. The families wanted me to stress that there's an anonymous tip line that is not affiliated with law enforcement. There's also a $3,000 reward for a tip leading to Tiffany's location. The tip line goes to the private investigators, and you can even claim the reward and still remain anonymous. The number for the tip line is 817-631-0911. You can even block your number by hitting star 67 before dialing. If you would like to remain anonymous, please give a code word instead of your name, then give your detailed tip. If your tip leads them to Tiffany, you can call back and give your code word and make arrangements to claim your reward. If you would like to contact the Fort Worth Police Department, please call 817-889-0842. Again, the phone number for the tip line is 817-631-0911. If you would like to follow Tiffany's case on Facebook, the family has started a group called Bring Tiffany Johnson Home. That brings us to the end of episode 62. I'd like to thank everyone who took the time to speak with me and all of you for listening. If you'd like to reach me, I have a page and a group on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram. Join me next week. I'll be discussing the disappearance of a man from Mississippi.
We just need her home. We pray every night. We do these posts every night. We put Tiffany's pictures, you know, on Bring Tiffany Johnson Home post, and that's on Facebook.
If they find him guilty for Tiffany, then I'll be fine with just that, because I know he's also guilty for my sister.
You know, it can and will happen again. It's just a matter of time. This time it took him 11 years to do it again, or 10 years. Yeah, her brother, Asher, my cousin, you know, they're twins, and he's always had a good kind of see through people's, you know, BS, or kind of read people very well, and he kind of felt like it was his fault sometimes. I understand that. But he brought in Chris, treated him just like a brother, treated him like family. Rash never saw it coming. None of us did.
I kind of feel that she was already gone, you know, so many years ago. But for, you know, it to come up again, and then for you to actually just have to live through it, you know, it's kind of harder than it was before.
Islam says she believes Revel knows where both women are. And she says, sadly, now two families are connected in a way they regret. She has a message for Revel.
Just give me my sister. Like, we've been without her for almost 11 years. My nephew has been without his mom for almost 11 years. So, yeah, just give me my sister. And give Asher Tiffany. Like, just give us our sisters.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.